But as for the pure, his work is right. Again, we're going to be talking about what's wrong in your life. I don't spend any time talking about what's right. I talk to God about your life, and I thank him for it. He's the one that changed it for you. But my job remains the same, and that is to deal with what's wrong. I sounded different for some reason. The way of man is froward and strange. Yeah. And the froward, strange men want to hear about themselves, huh? The way, course of life, mode of action, conversation, the way you do things is froward. Contrary, reverse, upside down, backwards. Against everything and everybody, against what I say, against what you say. You just want to disagree. You love to disagree. And if for no other reason, you'll disagree with how they told you. Now, you don't even have to disagree with what they said. How they said it will be enough. So the way of man is froward and strange. Strange means it's from a foreigner. It isn't from you. Strange means it's something outside of you. Strange means it's an alien, it's from another place, another locality. It's someone who has different customs, a different way of doing things. In other words, where you came from. That planet, that extraterrestrial place that vomited you up, lo, these many years ago, that's the place we're talking about. And it's a profane individual. It's one that's not connected with religious matters or religion. In other words, it's the secular people. It's all the people that taught you the things you know without considering God. They didn't consult the Bible. They didn't consult anything religious. They just told you what they thought. And all of us have our lives full of those kind of individuals. And finally, this strange man, this word strange, means one who is mentally deranged and insane. Now, as I said so many times in these messages, this is the person you still trust when you're making your decisions. Or you're not so insane anymore that you don't trust yourself anymore to try to clean up the mess that you made, but you still trust this person to make the mess for you. Then he talks about the pure. The pure, his work is right. Pure means nothing more than someone who lets light shine through so he can see distinctly what's on the inside. Someone who is transparent, in other words. Not someone who likes to put up a facade. Not an individual that if you don't say something nice about them, they don't want to hear anything. Not an individual that doesn't want to hear the negative, they just want to hear what's good about them. That individual does not want to be transparent. So as a result, that individual's work is not right. Now, sometimes that person knows what's wrong with him and doesn't want anyone else to know. But more often than not, he doesn't know what's wrong with him and doesn't really care. He'd rather believe there's something wrong with you. Now, this individual, the pure, the one who's transparent, his work is right. Now, let's find out about work, because we all have a job. Work, if you remember, means what you do systematically and habitually. In other words, it's what you do when you're not trying to impress anyone. It's how you normally do things. In other words, it's how you talk when you're by yourself, how you think when no one can hear, and what you do without anybody having to push you. That's your work. That's the way you work everything. Oh, I know that when we get the pressure of church and we get the pressure of praying, we get the pressure from our families, we try to do something different, but it always goes against something. Well, that's something that it's going against is your work, because what you do systematically and habitually is your work. Not what you pretend to do on Sunday or Wednesday, or what you pretend to do whenever you're trying to impress someone. Finally, work means your duty. In other words, he says the pure, his duty is right. In other words, he does his duty. Now let's find out what duty means, because if you don't know what duty is, then how can you do your duty? Keep your finger there and go to Luke 17:9. We'll be right back. Jesus is speaking in a parable, and he's talking about a master and the master's relationship to his servants that he pays. He hires them to do a specific thing. He pays them to do that specific thing. Just like God pays you, he called you and gave you all a ministry. Here in the church, in the family, in your own families, he called you, gave you a job, and he's paying you to do it. So it's your duty to do those things, and he's paying you to do those things. Now here's where some of you get fouled up in your mind. You belong to God. He gave you the job. He gave you the family. He gave you life. He gave you the job. In payment, it's salary, it's wages for doing your duty. Luke 17 says, "Doth he, the master, thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not." In other words, do you want God to thank you just because you do what you're paid to do? Do you think you're doing God some favor because once in a while you get a wild flame? I clean that up a little bit. And you decide one month or one week or some time to do what it's your duty to do all the time. So as a result, because you think, oh, I'm doing this now as a favor to God, then when you decide not to do it, well, it's your business. Well, no, it was your duty to begin with. You got paid to do that. You're a deadbeat, in other words. So Jesus says, so likewise ye, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. In other words, the only thing you'll do is what you're paid to do. Now be honest about that. That's all you'll do is what you're paid to do. But even that would be okay if you even did that. I wouldn't even be up here harping on this if you just did what you got paid to do. Well, let's find out what your duty is. Duty from the Greek comes from the word do. It means to owe, to be indebted. In other words, your duty is to do what you owe, what you're indebted to do. Not something you choose and say, well, my duty is to... It's not what you think it is. It's not what you want to do. It's what you owe. Duty is not even what you should do. Duty is what you owe, what you're indebted to do. Duty also from the Greek means to be, from the Greek in this instance, means to be under obligation. You're under obligation to pay what you owe. We look up the word duty from the English, and it comes from the word do. Duty means what is due and owing. You don't just grace God with your presence when and if you decide to show up. You don't grace God with your mind when you decide to pay attention. You owe it. This is your duty. This is your job. You're not doing him a favor. Duty also means a payment that's due and payable. In some cases, it's due and delinquent. Duty also means any action required by your occupation and your position. God didn't force you to become a Christian. You wanted the occupation. God didn't ask you and force you to become a husband or a wife. You played, you begged and pleaded, and some of you are still whimpering for the job. You just don't want to do what it requires once you get the job. Duty also means what you owe, an action required by your position as well as your occupation. It's a debt. See, debt or duty comes from due, and due comes from debt. What's due means what's owed, but it's also suitable and proper, so it's something right that you owe. See, it's not if someone slaps you and then you owe them a slap. That's not suitable and proper. It isn't if someone says something mean about you and then you owe them the same mean thing, because that's not suitable and proper. In other words, it's not the way you argue at home. She says something mad and mean about you, you say something mean and mad back to her. That's not the kind of debt we're talking about. Finally, the word debt means something owed by one person to to another. It's an obligation or liability to pay or return something. It's not just whatever you damn please. And finally, and this I didn't know till this evening, in theological terms, the word debt means something owing unpaid and therefore a sin. In other words, every debt that you have that's unpaid for and you still have it on the books, that's a sin. Now, Jesus Christ paid for everything you do wrong. So that's no longer a debt. That's no longer a sin. I'll tell you where your sin is, friend. In all those things you owe and you refuse to pay. That's where your sin is. Now, you can wait all you want. You can quit smoking, drinking, fussing, whatever you do wrong. That isn't the sin. Now, I'm not opposed to you stopping that. You should. But that's not paying the sin because you don't owe that sin anymore. The sin you have is that you're not paying your debts. You're not doing your duty. So now it's important that we know what our duty is. What do I owe? Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So first of all, he says, I want your substance. Now you know he's talking about 10% of what you have. He doesn't want it all. Honor the Lord with thy substance. So the first thing you owe him is 10% of your substance. The second thing you owe him is 10% of the first fruits of all your increase. All your increase. Well, why? Why does he want that? Next verse. So, in other words, then shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. In other words, God is saying, this is so you'll prosper, not so God will prosper. This is so that you will pay the debt that you owe. See, Jesus paid as much as he could, as much as it was proper for him to pay. Now, before you became a Christian, what held you back is unpaid sin. Jesus came and paid 99.9% of it. Now, he says you still owe another 10% of your time. So I'm going to give you 100% of money, goods, everything you need, time, ability, talent, and I want 10% back. In other words, I'm going to give you enough to pay your debts with. And you keep the rest. Such a deal. Except that somehow in this church, we no longer appreciate what God does for us. Now, I told you before, if you've heard this before, tough. I heard your routine before many times, and I just put up with it again. So if you heard this before, you're about to hear it again. And if you're not careful, you're going to hear it again on Sunday. And maybe next Wednesday, I listen to you with the same tired story. I'm going to tell you where we're at as a church and why we're at. Now, it is obvious that we're not making it financially, haven't been for some time. I have instructed Tony, she's no longer to make any more tapes. We don't have any more tapes, and I don't have any more salary that I can give up. Nothing from nothing is nothing. So there's no more money to buy tapes. We do have people, one person who put it on their own card to buy enough tapes so we can make masters so that if ever we have enough money, we can start making tapes again. See, we're getting to the point now where things are not looking good. Now, people have talked to me about this, and one brother said in particular to me, I'm concerned that maybe the church has overextended itself and we're doing what we can do and it just isn't enough. And you know, I thought, you know, the man might be right because I never look at the books. I don't look at names. I don't look at numbers. I don't want to preach soft to some of you that do good and not and hard to others that don't. So I'd rather not know. Besides, I know enough about you already. I don't know what else I would need to know. So I asked just for some facts and figures, no names. I took the most current month that was complete, August. In August, we took in $2,024.93, about $800, $700 and some dollars short of break even. I thought, well, you know, maybe that's all our families can stand. Maybe somehow or other I made a mistake and overextended ourselves, and I've lost the ability to manage financially or any otherwise. So I looked it up. 2024-93. $1,277 of it came from three families. In other words, well in excess of half of it came from only three families. And of the $1,277, $900 of it came from one family. So one family paid almost half of the entire $2,000. Right away, I smelt something rotten in Denmark. So then the last $747.93 came from four families. But a little over 300 of it came from one family. So what am I really saying? We've got about four or five families carrying the whole entire load, who are paying their fair share, and I suspect prospering in lieu of that. And by the way, I thank God because I'm not suffering a bit. See, God has his angels. I just, every now and then, I go to get my newspaper in the morning, and I find an envelope there with green stuff in it. And I don't mean piddly stuff. I mean lots of zeros on there. And I'm going to tell you why now, by the way. But I digress from my story. Three families paid $1,277 for August. Four families paid $747.93. But again, of the $1,200.77, one family paid $900 of it. So that means there was something like less than $400 by the other two families in that category. Of the $747.93, over $300 of it came from one family. So the other three families between them gave a little over $100. Now listen, I'm no fool. I don't know of too many people that are making less than $1,000 or $600 or $700, even if you're on welfare and have nothing else. So someone has got their hand in the cookie jar. They reach for the nuts and honey. And then when it comes time to tithe, you say, what are you going to give the Lord? Nothing, honey. You know the story. So that leaves six families who gave in the month of August. Zero. Nothing. Absolutely not 1 cent. Now, I am relieved because we have not overextended ourselves. All you have to do is, if those six families and some of the other families that are paying but not paying their fair share, if everybody did just what the Lord asked, we'd have our excesses again. I'll tell you why we don't have the excesses, because you all got complacent. And you start cheating the Lord. Now, some of you don't pay at all, and some of you aren't paying what you should. And then we have those that are. So you see, we got a little bit for everybody here. So I feel comfortable. And if we have to cut tapes, I have cut tapes. If I have to take light bulbs out and leave you squinting in the dark with only one bulb, I'll do that too. I'm going to cut everywhere, but I'm not going to beg you. And I'm not begging you now. If you don't like it, tough noogies. I'm telling you the truth. There is no excuse for six families in this church not to pay one single cent and yet want the benefits of all of this. No excuse whatsoever. There's also no excuse when it's obvious that those families that have taken the Lord at his word are progressing abundantly. So God is honoring his word. My concern is not for the church. We're going to get along. We have before, and we will again. My concern is your barns ain't got no plenty in them. Yeah. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So I'm going to show you now how to honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of your increase. Then, if you don't want full barns, or you don't want even want barns, that's your business. Honor means to promote, to honor, raise the Lord to a higher position. In other words, the Lord in your life is the one that you promoted to that position. Now, you think that's automatically Jesus? No, I'll tell you who the Lord is. The one who makes the final decision. That's the Lord. And when you make a decision that's contrary to this, then you promoted yourself to Lord. You are now as the Most High God. If that weren't the case, then you'd have barns filled with plenty. And you wouldn't have problems with the first fruits of your increase. Honor means to have a high regard and great respect for someone. Be honest now. Who is the person who's the final authority, whose appetites, desires, wishes, and needs are the final deciding vote on 99% of what happens in your life? You are. Honor means adherence to action or principles one considers right. So when you honor something, it's what you consider right. Now, you know what your actions are. You know if that's the Lord's actions and principles or yours. Now, what this really saying is not that you're not honoring the Lord. This is saying you're honoring the wrong Lord because your barns are not filled with plenty. And when I say your barns, our church is not filled with plenty. Now, your church didn't treat you that way when we had the money. You know, I could have held it back for a rainy day to make sure, because we have a reputation in this church of getting a little cuckoo. Prior, long time ago, I've gone as much as 20 weeks without pay. I know how this spirit operates. In fact, people used to tell me, well, you better hold back. You know how church is. I said, uh-uh. I know how God is. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. So when we had it, I spent it on you. Now that you've got it and we don't, so what? Now I'm not talking to those that are doing and to those blessed angels that God is using to help each other. And not only me, I've had people come up to me and say, here, help such and such with this, and I want to donate this and that. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about the ones that won't or haven't. Honor means to promote something or someone to a high rank and a high position. But you know what else honor means? Like when you honor a debt, it means to pay something when it's due. Not like, well, you know, we can't this month or next month or next month, but one of these months when we catch up, then we're going to do all our backlogging. Oh, well, when the rent comes due, I don't say, well, you know, whenever we get done. No, they want it now. Your credit rating with the Lord isn't all that good. With the Lord Jesus Christ, with you, it's sparkling. Now, who is the Lord? Lord means the self-existent one. Self-existent means that it exists by itself, for itself, with no outside agency. In other words, this is a person that cares about themselves, what they want, after they're all taken care of, after everything they need is taken care of, after everything they want is taken care of, then maybe they'll think of someone else. That's self-existent. In other words, it means self-centered. And yes, God takes care of himself first. You have a problem with that? Yes, he did make heaven and live there before you got there. That's his right. He can do whatever he wants. It's his. Self-existent means existing by itself, existing for self. Self means your own person, your own welfare, your own interest, and your own advantage. Existent means existing for that that's present and immediate. If you have an appetite now, you eat now. You take care of it now. You don't care about anybody else. Now, I'm telling you this. See, God says, look, I've already given you the ability to honor the Lord. And you are honoring the Lord. Here's the problem. You get to choose who the Lord is. And you've made the wrong choice. Now, what do you honor the Lord with? He says, well, he's making a pitch for money. No, I'm not. I don't have a tin cup, or, well, maybe I have some monkeys, but I got no tin cup. I'm not begging you for money. I'm trying to tell you where you are cheating yourself. God said, before you even talk about first fruits and increase and dollars, let's talk about substance. honor the Lord with thy substance. He said, that's the first thing you owe me, is your substance. 10% of it, but it's still his. So we look up the word substance. From the Hebrew, it means your effort, your ability, your power, which is your wealth and riches. In other words, what God is saying, 10% of your effort, your ability, your power, 10% of what you do, you ought to do for the Lord. Well, I go to church. That's your duty to go. Well, how do I give the Lord 10% of my effort? Jesus said, whatsoever you've done for one of these, the least of my brethren, you've done unto me. But you see, we become kind of a self-satisfied kind of a group, in which we only look at ourselves as a group when we need something or want something. When it's time for us to contribute time or effort or our abilities, our talent, you're nowhere to be seen. But yet, you know, and I'm not going to preach names, but you know who they are. You can see any time who gives time, effort, and ability. They're also the ones that end up having a lot of first fruits and a lot of increase. Now, I'm not tooting my own horn, and I don't have a turkey baster, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't know of anyone that gives more time, more effort, more ability, and more of my power to the family than I do. You don't pay me to do that. You don't even pay me for what I do. And even if every single check was on time, it does not pay for what I do out of love for you. I'll follow you anywhere to try to help you. He says, you honor me with your effort, your ability, and your power. That's your real wealth and riches. And there we have some real Scrooges sitting in here. You won't do anything for anybody but yourself. You think you can pop a few bucks in the basket and your duty is done. Half your duty, friend. Now, if you're going to be an extremist and a jerk, you're saying, well, I'm not going to give it any at all. Well, then you won't be doing any of your duty. Now, that's stupid. Here I'm telling you, you're halfway home. You're doing half of your duty. How are you going to solve it? You're not going to do any of it. That's real smart, intellectual, Dr. Spock kind of reasoning. Pointed head, not pointed ears, pointed head. You comb your hair in a pencil sharpener, by the way? He says, you honor me with your effort. Effort means the using of energy to get something done. Now, 10% of that is for the Lord, which means 90% of your effort is for you and your family. I'm not talking money now. I'm talking about God gave you ability to do some certain things you don't share with the rest of the family. You just won't share it. So you are not honoring the Lord with your substance. Now, you think you can do it. See, here's the irony of it. Some people will give first fruits only, but no substance. Some will give substance, but no first fruits. And then there's the sad individuals that won't give either one. And then there's the few that give both. And God is saying, look, I love you all the same. All I want is I want you all to enjoy the same. But I'm not going to break the rules for you. I'm not your mommy. I'm not going to break the rules that the Father made because he put me in charge and he's at work now. And now you're going to get away with things like you did with mommy. You can forget about it. He says, you owe me, you honor me with 10% of your effort. That's the using of energy to get something done. It means the exertion of strength or mental power. For what? For who? Well, Jesus, how many times did he have to tell you? I want you to honor me. How do you do that? How do I do something for you, Jesus? Do it for one of these, the least of my brethren, and you do it to me. So first of all, he says, you're cheating me on your effort. Incidentally, that's why some of you are getting worse and worse in terms of energy and ability to do things. See, after a while, you get to the point out of sickness or being decrepit, or injuries, where you won't be able to do what you used to do before. Well, why? Because you're hoarding it all. He says, honor me with your effort. Substance also means ability, which means your skill, your expertise, your expertness, and your talent. Now, you know what amazes me? For those that don't want to give talent, they don't want to receive it either. Now, I'm going to say this because it's true. As far as finances and business ventures and business matters and plain logical reasoning and the ability to communicate, the ability to influence people and convince people and to communicate and to put across an idea, there's nobody in this room collectively that can hold a candle to yours truly. Not even all of you together. Now, conversely, there are some things you can do that I recognize all the time. Not even in my dreams could I even try them. Here's the problem. You withhold your talent, and then you won't let me share mine with you either. So as a result, we get a shortfall on both ends. Finally, substance means power, which means a specific ability, a specific faculty. And in this room, if we go all around, there's very little that we can't get done as a church with all the specific abilities that we have. Unfortunately, that's not the way it's been working lately. And that's sad. Oh, you won't lose your ability, but you all of a sudden lose your opportunity to exercise that ability out there. Now, I'm telling you, as Christians, we don't have to go out there begging and looking for people to buy our ability and buy our talent and pay for it. God gave us the ability. He gave us the talent. He gives us the place to do it and people to pay you, by the way. The problem is you don't function that way in the church. You don't put any value on the ability that is given for your benefit and others, and you don't share your ability, your specific, with others. So then you go out there and say, yeah, that's ability, but yeah, well, we'll give you $1.98 for that. And other people with your same ability or even less get more money and get more respect than you do. Now, you know what I'm talking about. Don't be lying now. So what is happening? You're reaping exactly what you sowed. You're being treated out there exactly the way that you're treating the Lord. No one gives a diddly about your ability. They'll take you for peanuts, and they'll pay someone in the world twice as much, or at least more, for the same ability. Sometimes even less. Well, what's the problem? Is the problem out there changing jobs? No, the problem is right here. You just won't listen to someone who knows better than you do. Someone who was called to do this. Ain't no way I'm going to get a hold of some of those tools, routers, and all. I'd come home like this. A crippled, physically crippled. But you have no problem trying to take this and figure it out yourself, and you come back an emotional, mental, and spiritual quadriplegic. Your wife has to clean the slobber out. You can't even control your slobber. Well, what's the problem? You don't know that our life begins with Jesus Christ. It begins in this room. It begins out of this book. This is where it begins. And see, if you begin it wrong, it's going to end wrong. If you begin it with you being the Lord, then when it comes time for the Lord to pay for the sins of the ungodly, then guess who? You. Plus, the other thing I've told you so much, the Lord gets 10%. And everybody else gets the 90%. Now, be honest. Look at your books. Some of you are living. I'm not talking about your basic expenses, but you've got left over. If you've got 10%, that's a lot. Some of you don't even have that much. Well, what's wrong? Wrong God. It's God's perfect math. This is a perfect set of books. There's no way we can change this law. There's no way that we can collectively take up collections and say, here, we're going to go against God and we're going to prove God wrong and we're going to make you get more than the 10% even though you're God. We can't do that. We try, but we can't. And we agonize when you do without, or at least I do. But then God says, I can't break the law for him or her or them. So what is the problem to begin with? Substance. You just will not share your talents and ability. Now, God says, let me tell you something. If you put a great value on everybody's talent, beginning with mine, as I value yours, then I go out there and they value mine. But see, you don't value what God has given you. So as a result, what God has given you, see, what God has given me is of no value to you. Unless I have a spinning red light and a helmet, and then you dial 9 whenever you're damn good and ready. That's the only time you value. So what happens then? This is a God-given talent for me and for us. You have God-given talents for you and for us. You don't value those talents that God gave me for you. You don't value those talents that God gave the people in the church for you. So as a result, when you go out and your God-given talents aren't valued out there, you scratch your head and don't know what's happening. I'm just telling you what's happening. You're not valuing, you're not honoring the Lord with your substance. I want everybody in here to be self-sufficient, independent, to have all the money that they need, to be an example of Jesus Christ that he pays. But you see, you're not going to get paid if you don't do your duty. You got to pay what you owe. You're not doing God a favor. Now, let me tell you something. If I had to take a chance and said, well, here's what I'm going to have to do. I don't know what I'm going to throw this all in a hat. And whoever I don't pay is going to come knocking on my door. ITT, what am I going to do? LMNOP, what am I going to do? VISA, what am I going to do? You panic. Jesus Christ, come back later. It's in the mail. Isn't that screwed up thinking? My God in heaven, if you're going to be delinquent with someone, God is the worst person you can choose. I'm having a brilliance attack, you know. This must be very complicated and complex. I understand it. But the fact that, well, we're going to have to wait. Wait for what? Well, what am I going to do? LMNOP is going to be met. Brother, somebody's going to knock on your door. You got yourself in a screwed up mess. Somebody's going to knock on your door. You're going to have to give somebody an excuse. You're going to have to tell somebody, wait. Now, of all that list, you chose Almighty, all-powerful, omniscient God? Somehow or other, that doesn't... I say, Lord, do you really want me to tell him? Tell him this. I understand we all make messes. But I'll tell you something else. Your creditors are leeches and wolves. And they'll give you credit again as soon as they see your credit report and you got a decent job, they'll give you credit again. Because all they're after is your money. And that's what you try to protect. I'll tell you, if it was me, I'd tell them all, suck a rope. I'm paying the Lord first. And whatever is left, you can fight over it. That's what I'd do. And then if God doesn't do it, send your ITT and your PRQs and all them to me. And I'll tell them, I screwed up. I messed up. I'm a liar. Repossess my van. Do whatever you want. But if they don't, I get your title for everything. There ain't no way you take that one, and you know it. I mean, all you got to do is just sit down and do some rational, logical thinking. All right, you're in a mess. ITT's not going to bail you out, and neither is LMNOP. So why don't you choose the person, the only one that can get you out of this mess, and honor that. I mean, that's the only thing that, to me, that makes sense. Why we choose it differently, I don't know. And one person said to me, oh, you preach that way and we're going to lose some people. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. It just means we won't have to run the air conditioner so long because we won't have your hot head in here anymore. That's all it means. Maybe the water bill will be less because your uncontrollable kidneys will go with you. And I'm not talking about you as an individual. I'm talking about that foreigner in you, that this battle is over. I hate that individual. He's got you trapped. He's got you in bondage. And you're never going to get yourself out because you don't even know you're in jail. I don't know of anybody else on the face of this planet that prays for you and cares about you and agonizes and goes to the Lord and says, Lord, give me another way to get this point across. I don't know of anybody on this planet that does this for you. Why you don't value this, I don't know. And then you turn around, you want people to value you. You want somehow God to turn this around and treat you differently than you treated it. As you would that men would do unto you, do ye so even unto them. I value even your friendship, even a hello from you is valuable to me. Somehow or other, that point isn't made. Maybe not as strongly as it should be. So before you ever start worrying about first fruits and tithing dollars, you got to join the family, friend. You got to start thinking substance. You owe your children, you owe your wife time, effort, and ability. Isn't it amazing? You'll do anything for your stupid jobs. And then come about 11 o'clock at night, I don't see you running down to the plant there to punch the clock. All of a sudden, you want wifey dear to do her duty. Where you been? Maybe you ought to go lay down next to the time clock and listen to the soft ticking in your ear of the romantic little nothings as you cuddle up to it, because that's where your effort is. That's where your love is. That's all you think about is work and what you have a romantic involvement with it. Don't you understand when it's over, you got a different duty? What would happen if it was just reversed and you got to work and you said, well, it's hi. Can we turn out the lights out now and cuddle and just be romantic? No, we're here to work. Now that reverse wouldn't work over there, would it? Different duties. You don't go to work in your pajamas. You shouldn't anyway. Well, maybe you do because it is an effort. A curse. It's a curse. Maybe if you're very quiet. Maybe if you're very quiet, everybody will be asleep. Well, what's the problem? You're not sharing your substance. You're not giving God. You're not honoring the Lord with your substance. He gave you a life and it's not all yours. 10% of your life does not belong to you. 10% of your life belongs to God. And that 10% he doesn't need. He says, I want you to share it. See, that's the only way we can be a family. Instead, some of you would rather than indulge yourself and lower yourself, I guess, to going to a brother or a sister in the family, someone that has the talent you need. You'd rather go buy it somewhere. And then you're not obligated to share yours. That's not family living. That's not the way God wants it. And because of that, no one values your talent. You have to beg people to let them work for you. And then you got to beg them for increases. You got to beg them to pay you. You got to beg them for everything. They just don't value your ability. It's there. It's God-given. That talent is a great talent, and it's a very valuable talent, and it brings a lot of money on the market for everyone but you. You have this much talent, and they treat you like if you're, I don't know, just like if you're just off the street doing nothing. And somehow or other, you think the problem is with them, and it isn't. Now, he said, for those of you that don't honor me with your substance, you're also going to have trouble with the first fruits of all thine increase. First fruits means what came first, what's first in place, time, or order. First fruits of all your increase. In other words, he said 10% of all your increase. Well, what does increase mean? Income. Revenue. 10% of your income. Now, let me show you how ignorantly. I was going to say sneakily, ignorantly. Because you don't know, you think you know. First fruits of all your income belongs to the Lord. Now we all know that's 10%. 10% of what? Of your income. Well, what's income? The money you receive in a given period for your labor and your services. That's your income. Oh, well, I tithe on that. Do you? Oh, yes. Why, after they take out taxes and I pay this bill and I pay that bill and then what's left, then I tithe off of that. That's not the revenue. That's not the income. Income means revenue. And revenue means the collective amount of your income. And there's a government service that knows what revenue means. Because they took the name and it means the government service that collects certain taxes. Now, let me ask you this. When they charge you or collect on the income, do you say to them, well, they say, what's your income? Well, let's see, after I pay my rent and I buy this and I do that, here's what I have left. Oh, yeah, well, we'll be glad to take that. Yes, thank you. No, income is off the top. Revenue is everything that you make. Oh, but brother, wait a minute, hot shot. When you go and you say, well, how are you doing, brother? Oh, yes, I'm doing great. The Lord's blessing my business. Well, what's your income? Do you give them the figure after you pay everything? You give them the top figure in your pride and arrogance. And then you admit, this is my income. But then when it comes time for the Lord, you have a different income, Shifty. Well, you got cards under your... I'd never get in a game with you. You play too many different rules. Now, I'm not telling this to you. There's a foreigner in there. There's a stranger in there that's robbing you. Robbing you. Blind. It's not hurting me any. I give my effort. I give my time. I give my substance. I give my first fruits. And somehow or other, if the Lord does nothing else, he'll stick it under my door. And I'm not talking about some penny ante thing. I'm talking about presidents, crisp, nice bills with lots of zeros on them. As a matter of fact, praise God, it happened this morning. Again. And this isn't the first time this month. And I suspect it won't be the last time. So all I'm telling you, why would God honor me more? Why not? Revenue. He also said, I want the first fruits, which also means the means of your enjoyment. Now, what does that mean? There's lots of things that I do that I enjoy, but as much as I can, I try to share them with the brothers. Now, for my part, those of you that haven't known me too long, me, Reuben A. Galvis, oh, him of the double-breasted suits, sitting in a van up in the hills, away from the bright lights and the good times? Me? Yes, now. Because you know what I found? I found that the things that I enjoy are best enjoyed and more blessed when I enjoy them with Jesus Christ. Someday Jesus is going to say, thanks, son, taking me to the movie, taking me to lunch, spending a little time with me at the park. Well, Lord, when I do that? When you did it with one of these, at least to my brethren. But we have a mentality here. Fun means away from us and away from church, away from God. That's enjoyment. And here is, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. He said, God says, look, I don't want this to be just a hassle, a task. I want the means of enjoyment to be shared too. I've done everything but beg some of you. The only thing you enjoy is your own company. Now, there's a thing I don't understand at all, but then... Now, I'm telling you this for a specific reason, because I'm not hurting, and I won't hurt, and this church won't hurt. If I have to buy candles and preach by candlelight, I'll do it. We're not going to go down. I'll tell you why I do this. I do this because of Proverbs 3:10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Everybody says, yep, that's what I want, barns with plenty of stuff. See, that's our materialistic, froward, strange mind thinking again. The minute I say barns filled with plenty, you're thinking of someplace, big bank account, lots of money, lots of things. You couldn't be further off. Let me tell you what barns means. Barns means basically one thing, the storehouse. Now, let me tell you where the storehouse is. Let me tell you where God, the Father, decided to put the most valuable things that he has in the storehouse. Now, the most valuable possession he has is his Son, the Holy Spirit of God. Now, where did he put those? Where did he put them? Inside of me, inside of you. That's the storehouse. So he says, don't worry about bank accounts. That'll take care of yourself. I want you to have everything you need. I want you to be filled with plenty. Well, it's a barn. It's a storehouse filled with plenty. Well, then we look at the word plenty. What does that mean from the Greek? What's God saying? Copiousness. So shall your body be filled, your storehouse, with copiousness. You'd like to have some copiousness? Some would say, oh, that means I got to have a lot of something. You know what it means? To be filled to satisfaction. In other words, he's going to straighten out your curly tail. Pigs are never satisfied. And look at all the things that you like to do. They never satisfy. You go and do these things, you drink them, you eat them, and they never satisfy. All you do is you need another one. And while you're coughing, trying to finish this one, you want another one. Why? Because the first one didn't satisfy. So it's not having a lot of things, it's having something that satisfies. So he says, I want your storehouse to have satisfaction. I want it to have enough. But think of the things you chase all of your life. You chase love, you chase acceptance, you chase validation, you chase all these things. And even when you get them, you weren't satisfied. Because all the people that you married that you said you love, they're the ones you fight with now. Why? They're not satisfying you. I can't get no satisfaction, brother. Well, I'll tell you why. Because only Jesus can satisfy. That's why. See, somewhere along the line, we've been trained that to have a lot of something satisfies. Well, next time you're taking a shower, check it out. Having a lot didn't satisfy you, did it? I mean, put a rearview mirror. Get a truck mirror and with a wide-angle lens and put that in your shower so you can check out and say, I got a lot of it, but that don't satisfy. A little bit more, you're going to hang a red flag on that. That's what the law says. You can't put that out on the highway without warning. You may have to put blinkers on that thing, man. So a lot doesn't satisfy, does it? It's the satisfaction. That's the important thing. God says, I want you to be satisfied. But see, you're God. You're the Lord, and you're trying to satisfy yourself. So as a result, you think more is better. Well, the more you get, you still aren't satisfied. And then more, and you're not satisfied. And then you give up, and you say, well, I'll have to try something else. And what is the problem? First of all, you don't know where the barn is. And secondly, you don't know what copiousness means. You don't know what plenty means. Plenty means to have enough. Now, I'm talking again to people in this room when you were down in the pits and you said, I don't have enough. Now you have 4 or 5 times the income you had then. And what do I hear? I don't have enough. And then someone say, well, I don't have 4 or 5 times the income. Well, then you have that much less indebtedness. But you still don't have enough. Doesn't matter how hard you work. Doesn't matter what you do. Why? Because you don't know what the storehouse is, and you don't know what plenty is. And you don't know how to get it, because you won't honor the Lord with your substance. See, all you got to do is, look, all I do is share everything God has given. That's it. That's all I do. Now, there is no way that you can say that God didn't pay off and isn't paying off. And I'm satisfied. Copious means very plentiful and very abundant. He says, I want you to be copious. I want you to have plenty. I want it to have it to abundance. Copious comes from two words, co, which means together, and opus, which means wealth. In other words, he says, I want wealth and you to be together. That's copious. Well, all right, let's be copious. Let's save our money. Let's invest right, and that'll be copious. No, it won't. Let me tell you the final definition of copious. Full of information. Now, what does that mean? What did God say all through the Bible? Wisdom is like precious rubies. It's like fine gold. It's like refined silver, purified seven times over. Wisdom, information, the very thing you don't want. The very thing you don't value. The very thing you reject. Why? Because it doesn't agree with what you think. So as a result, you're full of something, but it's not information. You don't know what copious means. In other words, what God says, the more of this you put in you, the more valuable you become to God. Now, if you become more valuable to God, you become more valuable to everyone. Now, you're full of information. Now, you take an individual prepared that way, that individual cannot help succeeding. But you see, you decide you want to fill your mind exclusively with information of the secular variety. Well, I can figure that out faster than anybody else, and I can do it faster than anybody else. So what? No one wants to pay you, though, do they? Or they want to pay you like if you were a spastic of some kind. I mean, they don't pay you for your talent. And then you get there and you do a beautiful job, whatever. And they'll come out and say, ooh, kaka-poo-poo, that's ugly. What'd you do there? People that don't know the first thing. They hire you because you're the expert. And then the minute you do, and you do a good job, then all of a sudden, no, I don't agree with that. Well, say, I don't understand why they do that. They don't even know. Let me tell you why, friend. Because I'm an expert in my field. And after I go through all this and put it out and give it to you, only after you ask for it, you sit there with your unmitigated gall and start taking it apart, like if you know what the hell you're talking about. Now, you say, well, that's right. That's my right. I don't want to be in a cult. I want to do my own thinking. Great. Then you go out and you do work so fine, whatever, you type up the letter perfectly, you do just exactly, you know, and somebody comes and says, I don't like that, that's not the way to do that. Good, that's exactly what you deserve. You should learn to value before you expect to be valued. There's nothing wrong with your talent and your ability. It's people out there refuse to value it. Why? Because you don't value this talent and this ability. You don't value the talent and abilities around you. You're takers and no givers. You rob us of your talent and your ability. If nothing else, you have the ability to make me laugh. You're funny. I find you amusing. I enjoy your company. The worst you can do is still good. How can that guy think that? But that's valuable. And if nothing else, I'll tell you where you rob me. I have no way of knowing what to go to the Lord for if you're sitting there like a pious, stupid idiot, knowing there's things wrong in your life and refusing to share them, refusing to ask questions, refusing, rather pretending like everything's okay. Now, you robbed me then, because I could have gone and got some valuable information for you and your family. Valuable information. Information you couldn't buy if you bought the best psychiatrist according to worldly standards. You couldn't buy this if you were a millionaire. This isn't for sale anywhere. You hire the best lawyer, they couldn't tell you how to get out of your messes. You hire the best doctor and they couldn't tell you what to do. There's doctors that would give their eye teeth to get you out of some of the messes. If doctors had a way, a pill or something that would work to get you out of the messes that God has gotten us all out of, that doctor would be a millionaire. They don't know. They plain, simply do not know. The problem is, you think you do. And finally, let me say this. God says, then you will be satisfied. Satisfied means to have your needs fulfilled, your expectations fulfilled, your wishes fulfilled, your desires fulfilled. Now, herein lies the problem. He didn't say, if you do these things, then the Lord will have his needs, his expectations, his wishes, his desires fulfilled. What he said is you will honor the Lord, which means your Lord, whoever he is, will have his needs, his expectations, his wishes, his desires satisfied. Now there's two Lords. Jesus Christ, the one that gives. He gives life. He gives substance. He fulfills all your needs. And then there's the thief, the robber, and the liar. Those are the two. Now, what is your problem? Let me tell you who your Lord is. Your Lord is a liar, a thief, and a robber. Because God gave us all the same. Now, if God gives us all the same, and we all have to go to the bank to deposit it, and the bank is on the other side of Sherwood Forest, and I get there with my deposit, and you don't, somebody robbed you, right? Does that mean you didn't have the same to begin with? That means you're not too bright, is what it means. It means you should have stayed with the bunch. We should have gone together. We should have gone as a group, protecting each other, taking care of one another, being substantial to one another. You watch my back, I watch yours. You protect that side, you protect that side. We all make it right. No, you want to go it alone. You're the lone wolf. Oh, what's that guy? Lenny. You're Lenny. You're the lone wolf. You just pride yourself on not needing anything or anybody. So what is the problem? The problem is that your Lord then gets his needs, his expectations, his wishes, and his desires filled. Let me tell you what that Lord's desires is. That you be in poverty, that you be unhappy, that you be sick, and that you be totally turned off on the true and living God. That you not trust Jesus Christ, that you not believe this, that you not honor each other, that you don't live as Christians. That is the wish of that Lord. And you are fulfilling his wishes, his needs, his expectations, and his desires. Why? Because you're honoring a Lord, the wrong Lord, with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. So as a result, you can see God's not going to give you more. If you had two children and one was a stone cold drug addict and using all his money to kill himself with drugs, and the other one was investing and doing things right, would you continue to give them the same? When he's using what you're giving him to kill himself with, it's an act of mercy to withhold then. But even then, he doesn't withhold. He says, what's going to happen is my enemy and yours is going to come and rob you and take it away from you so you won't have it to kill yourself with. And then you turn around and blame God for that. That just doesn't make any sense. How many examples do you have to see of people who come in here, beginning with me, who life has dealt them a raw deal? They ain't got nothing. And we all started out that way. And sometimes you see, just like this, immediately we start getting the basic needs that we want. We start getting our homes, we start getting our furniture, we start getting the things that we need. The problem is, you get to your comfort level and then you cut him off. And then the struggle now is just for survival. You forgot how you got there. You forgot what it took. You forgot how you enjoyed coming here. You forgot how you enjoyed the fellowship. You forgot how we shared our substance with one another. We shared our effort. You cooked together. We ate together. We went here together. We went there together. We did those things together. And I thought, boy, this is a loving church. You know what I found out? As soon as the money ran out, so did you. No, when we were paying $2,000 a crack to take you and all your screaming hyenas to wherever we went, you were there. I mean, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, you were there with all the banshees. They were there, curly tails and all. We never had a problem. Now, a brother can go, well, what time? Well, I can't go before 3, after 4, and I got to be back at 6:30. And besides that, I'm going to have to leave. And what are we going to have? Man, all of these conditions. I don't remember those conditions when I said the magic word, free, free. Then you didn't care. 4 o'clock in the morning, you were there. I remember when we used to get here when the sun was barely coming up, ready to go to Disneyland, $2,000 a crack. Boy, you didn't have any commitment. And then we'd get there and I'd reach in my pocket and I'd, here's 10, 15, whatever I gave you for you to feed your family. No conditions then. Now all of a sudden, I got to hire the Love Boat staff to plan the trip around all of your wishes and desires. If Julie doesn't do it right, you're pissed off. You don't want to go. We got to have Isaac there to plan it just right for you. And when are we going to go? And what? No, I don't want to do that. You hypocrite. When it was free, you couldn't. You jumped. You'd hitchhike to get there. You'd have ridden on the top of the van. But it was free, free. And now all of a sudden, you have all these conditions. Like if all of a sudden I'm supposed to be your cruise director. And you try to tell me what you like, if you're paying or something. Brother, the payment ought to be that we're together. The payment to you ought to be that someone, and I don't still understand why, someone values your company.
Why? I don't know. There's a group of people here that if we go somewhere and you're not there, we miss you. It is not as much fun. It is not as much enjoyment. And you don't, you say, I don't want to do that. Why not? I don't know why you've changed. I don't know what your problem is. All I know is I'm sick and tired of babying you. And I also know something else. We're about $800 short of being right back on track like we always are monthly. And I'll guarantee you, and you can call me on this, but if I were to sit down, if I could, and I don't necessarily want to, but if I did, and just took 10%, just 10% off the top of everything God has blessed this families with every month, we'd have in excess of what we need. God would not give us a church and expenses and a tape ministry and all the things we have and then say, now, ha, 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 I'm not going to give you the income that's necessary to take care of. I screwed up. I messed up. I was gone that day. I was out to lunch. Don't tell me God made a mistake. He gave us enough people to support what we have. He gave you all enough income to support and then some. That is not the problem. I knew it wouldn't be, but I owed it because I thought maybe I've done more than God called. Maybe we should have stayed in the smaller building. And all of you ladies would be like that in that back room with your kids. You wouldn't be able to bat your eyelashes without poking somebody else's eye out. And that would be a nice little sweat box. That would be fun, armpit to armpit in that little room back there, right? That would have been great. And then you're there and someone has to go to the bathroom. No windows in the bathroom. No exhaust fan. And then the bathroom, this little tiny sweat box that you're in. Then you got to keep the door closed because I'm preaching. I should have done it. I should have left you there. It would have served you right. You'd all come out here with green hair. So you just don't appreciate. I said, Lord, it could not have been a mistake to give the family comfort, to give the children a place to sit so we could come in fellowship and do things like we used to do. That can't be a mistake. Why would God do that and then cut me off and say, I'm not going to give the church enough income? There's enough and more than enough. It's just that there's some weird ways of doing bookkeeping here. Some of you all have hired Egbert, the bookkeeper, and he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Now, I can understand Egbert when he says, well, 10% of this, and he figures it all wrong. The Egberts that some of you hired that think 10% is zero. Those are the ones that I say, where did you find a person that convinced you of that? Where did you find a person that says if you're going to have someone knocking on your door, if you're going to be delinquent with someone, it's best to be delinquent with God, almighty, all-powerful, omniscient God. That's the one you want to have on your case. Boy, that's bad advice. Super, super bad advice. Finally, satisfaction means to be freed from your anxieties, to be freed from your doubt, to comply with rules and regulations. When you satisfy the rules and regulations, it means you comply with them. Finally, this is the last definition, and then we're leaving. Satisfaction means to give what is due. I don't care how much money you get. I don't care how many houses you buy. I don't care how much your business grows. I don't care how many promotions you get. You are not going to get any satisfaction until you pay your duty, what is due. Because that's what satisfaction is, not how much you have. It's paying what is due. Duty, what is due. You do that, you got it fine. But again, you're not going to start with that basket. You're going to start with your substance. You're going to start with your effort, your power, your talent, your expertise. We're a family. We're supposed to help one another. You're not an island by yourself. You're not someone that floats along all in, and here comes the love boat. We're so happy to see that you stopped in our port. You're supposed to be one of us. We're supposed to be together. And let me tell you something, whether you know this or not. I'm smart enough and I'm man enough and I'm humble enough to say, I need you. My life is not complete without you. Would to God that you would swallow your stupid pride and come to the realization that you need me as much as I need you. We need each other just as much as the rest of us need you. This message is to bring you in, not to chase you out. This message is to tell you why you're not successful, why you're not satisfied. This message is to help you. And I've shared everything, my guts with you. I spill my guts here. What else do you want? What do you want, blood? Thank you. Brother Dennis, would you close the service in prayer?